It's all kinds of fucked up, Mandy. The only thing I've accomplished was talking them out of killing any of the kids or civilian pack members. I pointed out to the asshole that it would enrage the Van Blakens when they heard. It's one thing to take on an alpha and his enforcers, something entirely different to kill women and kids. He actually listened for once.
Who is Vasquez?
He's in our group, Mandy explained to Glacier. Total prick. Ice cold. Talk about a god complex. He's a textbook case. We hate him. To put it mildly, Olivia murmured. He's one cruel bastard. Rumor has it he asked to be turned just to become an assassin. It's like it's his goal to be the most brutal killer of all to impress the council. And he's their favorite pet. They assign him to lead missions when a larger team is needed. He seems to get off on it.
We need a few numbers to reach your council, Glacier informed Olivia. Not only Korski's, but Mandy mentioned something about having a secondary number in case she wasn't able to get a hold of him. It's gotta be another council member, right?
No. The other number belongs to Robin. That's Korski's second. I had to call it once when he wasn't picking up. Mandy had the same numbers I did. Why do you want to reach out to council members? Olivia paused. If you don't mind my asking. Mandy glanced at Glacier. He nodded, letting her know she could share that detail with her friend. We were sent to kill a werewolf enforcer, but the truth was, Marco and his nest had been abducting and killing pups, Olivia. That's why Glacier was there. Holy shit! Olivia's shock was obvious. What the fuck? The investigator should have presented that to the council. Our orders... She went silent. You're thinking what I did. Mandy sighed. Someone lied to the council. They would have ordered us to wipe out Marco and his nest for killing werewolf kids. Says it all, doesn't it? Korski gave us those orders. Damn. Why would he take a master's side? Were they lovers? Friends? Family? Who knows? His orders might have come from the council, and it's possible he wasn't involved. We don't know who lied. Mandy leaned back against Glacier once more. We were hoping that secondary number was to another member of the council in case it was Korski, though. Someone was protecting that nest. No way would the council have sent us to take out an enforcer if they knew the truth. Olivia hissed. What a mess! She was quiet for a moment. Do you know who would have other council members, though? Vasquez and the assassins he's leading? Korski didn't send him here. Someone else on the council did. Mandy was surprised. Are you sure? I've never heard of that happening before. We always get our orders from Korski. Yeah, I'm certain. Olivia confirmed. Korski contacted me this morning to see if I'd found out who'd killed you and to ask if I'd heard anything from Marco. Let's just say he didn't sound happy when I informed him Vasquez was here, and five assassins from a different house were with him. I also had to inform him Marco was dead. Mandy was dumbfounded. I assumed the team was from our house. Nope, only Vasquez. I didn't have a chance to chat with the others to see where they're based. When I began to protest about attacking the entire pack, Vasquez grabbed my arm and marched me to another room to listen to what I had to say. When we were done, he ordered me to leave. He and his team aren't staying at this hotel, but one down the street, which is also weird. We usually get rooms grouped together. I even asked if he wanted me to switch hotels, and he said no. I was hoping tonight, when we do recon, that I'd get a chance to find out where the other team members came from and how they ended up under Vasquez for this assignment. That is weird, Mandy admitted, staring into Glacier's eyes. We always sleep close together, usually on the same floor to cover each other's asses if shit hits the fan, especially if we're dealing with a large group of whatever the hell the threat is. Glacier scowled.
Olivia, I want you to do me a favor.
All right, she sounded a bit hesitant.
Tonight, when you meet up with this team, tell them you were left a message by the Garlikens at the hotel desk. Act confused as to how we learned who you are and where you're staying. I'm going to send you a location where we want to meet your team. Give it to them while they're together, and I'll word it strongly so they can't refuse.
Okay,
Are you planning to kill us?
Not you. Maybe them. We'll see how it goes. You'll be safe, though. I give you my word.
Mandy knew her best friend well. She'd be scared and leery. Glacier means it, Olivia. You can trust him.
All right. I trust you, Mandy. I'll be sure to stop at the desk before I leave. We're supposed to meet up at 7.
The message will be waiting for you.
Glacier promised. He nodded at Mandy. Get a disposable phone, Olivia. Text this number with it. I'll call you again soon. Love you.
Love you too. I'm so glad you're alive.
Glacier ended the call and turned to his brothers, releasing Mandy.
We're traveling back today. Creed, you're staying here to keep Mandy safe.
Damn.
Creed frowned.
I left Alaska to see some action. Action would mean my mate is under attack.
Glacier shook his head.
You do whatever you must to keep her safe.
I swear,
Creed promised.
Why me, though? She'd probably feel safer with Pest.
Pest chuckled.
Our bro here wants her left with a mated Garlican. He doesn't care that I gave my word not to hit on Shortstack. He's all protective instincts and irrational thoughts right now.
Glacier flipped him off before turning to face Mandy again.
I'm going to have to leave you. I hope to return by morning. I'm sorry.
You need to take care of this. I'm going to miss you, but I understand.
She did.
Someone on the council had protected Marco and his nest. It couldn't happen again. Werewolf pups had died as a result. More could have been killed if Glacier hadn't been called in and she didn't have her morals intact. Vasquez, for example, wouldn't have cared about pups. He'd have just followed orders and left town as soon as he'd taken out the threat to the nest.
Just be safe.
Always. I have you to come home to.
She didn't care that his brothers were watching as she wrapped her arms around him, giving him a hug.
I love you.
He wrapped his arms around her tight.
I love you too, baby.
Pest snorted.
I'm never taking a mate. Ever.
Nebulous chuckled.
That's like begging fate to hand you your ass. Say it again. Hey, Creed, want to place a bet that Pest is the next one to be mated? No way. I'm not a sucker. He just fucked himself.
Creed laughed. Mandy smiled against Glacier's chest. She liked his brothers. They were funny.
Screw you all, Pest muttered. Neb's gonna need a motorcycle since we're day traveling. Rent me one, too.
Glacier released her, holding her gaze.
We can drop them off at the rental place once we enter Kevin's territory. I plan to fly back to you tonight, as soon as this is finished.
Chapter 14. The 6 male vampires looked startled when 3 Garlicans flew from the sky and landed on the building's roof. The lone female vampire, Olivia, not so much. Glacier saw fear in all their gazes, though. That didn't come as a surprise. Garlicans tended to have that effect on all races. The vamps took up defensive stances, looking tense and ready to attack. Glacier crossed his arms over his chest and allowed his wings to spread outward as he glared at them.
I see that you got my message.
Glacier purposely made his voice deeper than normal. It was meant to intimidate. He slightly shelled his body until his skin turned ashen gray. It might remind the vamps how easily they could be turned gray too, as they died.
I'm guessing the female is Olivia. Step forward, assassin. I met your partner.
Olivia came forward a few feet and glared at him.
Are you the one who murdered Mandy?
He smothered a smile. She was a good actress. He gave her a slight nod.
You say murder, I call it self-defense. I wouldn't attack just yet, little vampire. You'll want to hear what I have to say. That will be difficult if you force me to kill you. I'm not here for that, unless you leave us with no other option. This is to be a friendly discussion. Understand?
Bastard, she hissed and backed up. Pest snorted.
Are you certain we can't kill her just for the hell of it? I don't like being called names.
Glacier wanted to shoot a warning glare at his brother for that remark. Olivia honestly appeared frightened now.
He hoped she realized Pest was bluffing. She would be the only vampire to survive on the roof if shit went down. He always kept his word, especially to his mate. Neb withdrew his sword and pointed it downward.
We came to talk, and you will listen. That's not up for debate. Don't contemplate jumping off the roof, assassins. There are no balconies on this building, and you wouldn't fare well with a 16-story drop.
Splat, Pest muttered.
And forget the roof access door you came through. You'd lose your head before you even got it open. Just stay where you are and do what you're told.
Glacier drew the vampire's attention by stepping closer.
I want to speak to your council. I'll assume vampires have phones. There are 7 of you. That means at least one of you can place a call to them.
Glacier studied each one.
Who can make that happen?
None of the vampires spoke.
The only reason you get to live is to be useful to us, he added. Now I'll ask again. Who can contact your council right now? Someone speak.
A dark-haired male vamp flashed his fangs.
I can.
Glacier had a feeling this one must be Vasquez. He seemed utterly cold, and there was a look in his dead eyes that said he had seen a lot of death. He instantly took a disliking to the vamp, with his leering expression and obvious disdain he didn't bother to hide. The vampire removed his phone.
You want me to call the council? Yes, I'd like them to see me. I want you to use your camera for a live feed and have them all join in as a conference call.
The male hesitated.
We don't have to see them. You just point the damn camera at me and keep the screen your way. Is that simple enough? Let them know you're surrounded by 3 Garlycans who are demanding to speak to them. Otherwise, they will be declaring war. Then put it on speakerphone so I may hear their voices and know they can see me.
The vamp nodded once and placed a call. Glacier waited while the vampire connected to someone and whispered quietly. It didn't take more than a few sentences before the vamp paused, staring at him.
They're conferencing the call and darkening their screens.
Cowardly,
Pest sighed.
But not surprising that they would hide their faces.
It doesn't matter,
Neb reminded him. A good 3 to 4 minutes passed before the vamp holding the phone lifted it, staring at Glacier.
Where do you want it pointed?
Glacier strode forward, keeping his wings extended. He stopped 10 feet away.
Can they see me?
The vamp nodded and touched the screen.
Yes, and now it's on speaker.
Glacier focused on where the camera would be. He gripped his sword in one hand, fisted the other.
Hello, Vampire Council. You may call me Glacier. I'm with 2 of my Garlycan brothers. I have a message from Lord Avioth. He'd have been happy to speak to you himself, but you're difficult to get a hold of. You really should change that policy of yours. I wouldn't be holding 7 of your assassins on this roof with the threat of death if we could have contacted you otherwise. Now assure me I'm actually speaking to the council.
We're listening, Garlycan. A female voice stated.
Are you a council of one?
He knew better.
No,
a male denied.
We keep ourselves hidden to protect our identities. Reprisals are something we're wary of. You are speaking to all members of the council. I myself linked this phone to my computer and set up this conference call. You have my assurances.
Glacier wanted to snort, but he was willing to give whoever spoke the benefit of the doubt. There were at least 2 vampires listening, a female and male. Still, he decided to try something.
Are you Korski?
Someone gasped.
No, I am,
a third voice answered.
How in the hell do you know my name?
He sounded outraged more than afraid.
I captured an assassin. You missed that part of the conversation. She tried to kill me, so I felt it was only fair to gain information from her before I ended her life. She said you were the head of her house. But you'll be gratified to know it took quite a lot of pain for her to break. I'm content now that I have your attention.
Why in the hell did you kill one of our vamps?
Korski raged.
You send two of your assassins to take out the person responsible for killing off members of a nest. Marco was, past tense, the master of that nest. I'm the one who put his ass down.
He smiled coldly.
I will say the assassin I met in that alley a few nights ago had excellent training, but she really never stood a chance against me. My wings? They become razor blade sharp when need be. They can slice through a vamp body if I want them to. And I did. I'm not sorry to inform you that you're one assassin less now.
He hoped they believed he'd killed Mandy. The wind blew and no one said a word as Glacier took a deep breath.
Your assassin informed me it wasn't my place to take out the nest, that you police your own.
He allowed anger to show in his face and his own fangs dropped.
Yet you didn't. You sent them after me instead. Do you want to explain that decision?
You killed off Marco and his nest?
Surprise sounded in another unidentified male's voice.
Yes, I did. Do you want to know why?
That sick bastard and his nest were kidnapping Lycan children, forcing them to fight to the death against each other, and for what?
To get their dicks hard. You bet your ass I wiped them off this planet. That's some sick shit right there. Cruel. Children are off limits. You fucking know that. So much for policing your own.
The woman spoke next. That's not true.
Bullshit. I arrived in this area to investigate after Lycan children began disappearing. It's what we do. I located a building where Lycan kids had been locked in animal cages. Their little bodies were left in trash bags in the basement, tossed there as if they were garbage. The vampires had left some of their clothing behind, were probably staying there to guard their captives while they still lived. I tracked the fuckers down and killed them. Do you wish me to fly one of your assassins to that building? They can view the same evidence. The local nest stole those Lycan children and killed them. I'm also willing to have them interview the grieving parents.
No one on the council said a word.
Are you so gullible that you'll believe whatever a nest master tells you without confirmation?
Still, no one spoke.
That sounds like utter stupidity to me, and something you need to change. You see, we look into every situation when we are called for help. We make damn sure the guilty party is at the end of our blades before we start taking heads. We don't pick sides until we're certain who the bad and good guys are. Maybe that makes us and the Vamp Lycans smarter than your council. The point is, you've already lost one assassin who tried to kill me because of your negligence and allowing Marco to go after Pack children. You sent her after the wrong guilty party. I was protecting kids from your vamps. That's something you should have done.
We didn't know, the woman stated. At least I didn't. We'll get to the bottom of this confusion, Garlike and Glacier. You have my word on that.
Did you send someone to investigate Marco's lies when I'll assume he claimed an enforcer was killing his nest without cause?
The woman remained silent a moment, but then spoke. We had it on good authority that Marco wasn't at fault in any way and had followed our laws. We originally voted to send two assassins to take out whoever was hunting the nest, clearly based on misinformation. After one of our assassins went missing, we were told by that same authority that the local pack hated all vampires and wanted them dead. That's why we sent in the team you see before you. Their orders were to make certain no more innocent vampires were killed because of hatred for our race.
Well, I'd kill your so-called authority since they either lied or were incompetent as fuck,
he snarled.
I took out Marco and his nest. They were child murderers. Kids are off limits. Human ones, Lycan ones, Gar-Lycan, and Vamp-Lycan. Maybe since vamps don't have children, you're oblivious to the fallout. Marco risked exposing all of us with those deaths. That's not even touching on the absolute emotional devastation it causes all involved with the loss of those innocent lives. Children of any race never just disappear or die without it drawing attention. Do you understand that?
Yes, a few voices on the phone confirmed.
I believe we all have a common goal in keeping humans in the dark about our existence. Be wiser about who you choose to lead your investigations, and be damn certain before you send out your assassins that they're going after the correct targets. There's one more thing you should know. I interrogated a member of that nest. He wasn't very forthcoming before he died, but I did get one thing from him. It didn't make sense to me, but I have a feeling it might to you. They were taking videos of the fighting children, and implied there was money to be made in it. He picked up the sound of a few gasps and muttered curses. Police your own and deal with this shit. It's possible one of you was involved. You'd better clean your fucking houses, or we will. This shit won't be tolerated. I was told you didn't think we ever leave Alaska. Clearly we do, and have many times before. You don't want us policing your vamps? Then fucking make sure we don't have reason to. Lord Avioth and all four vamp-liking clan leaders will put together teams and send them to problem areas if this happens again. We work well together to keep our existence a secret. We're willing to work with you too. Do you understand? It was the woman who answered.
We do.
Glacier walked closer, glaring into the camera. Nobody wants a war in the States, but we won't shy away from it. We can work together to keep the peace, or a lot of blood will be shed. It's your choice. Make it.
He glanced at the vampires around him, then focused on Olivia.
You, get over here,
he pointed at her.
Olivia hesitated but came forward. He hated the fear in her eyes, but she approached him bravely. It put her with him in front of the camera when she stopped where he directed.
I'm making you our contact. Give me your phone.
He held out his hand. She turned, glancing warily at the camera.
Do it,
a male voice ordered. It sounded like Korski. Olivia removed her phone, handing it to him. He glanced down, seeing she'd unlocked it. He typed in the number Kelzeb had given him and returned it to her.
You are the only one to use that number, Olivia. Congratulations. You've officially become the go-between for your council and Lord Avioth. Now return to where you were.
Her features softened and her eyes widened. It must have sunk in that he'd just made her too important to kill. The council would need her alive if they really wanted to avoid a war with the Garlykans and Vamplykans. She turned from the camera fully and winked before masking her features. She hurried back to her spot on the roof. Glacier stared at the camera.
We're done for now. Have Olivia contact us with her number so Lord Avioth can reach you if a need arises.
He strode forward and grabbed the phone the dark-haired vampire held, crushing it in his hand and effectively ending the meeting. He tossed it aside and backed away.
You destroyed my phone?
The vamp hissed, flashing fangs.
I'm going to reach into my pocket and give each of you a card. It's got a special number on it. Share it with your fellow assassins.
He withdrew the cards, approaching the vamp he suspected was Vasquez. He still appeared furious over his lost phone. Glacier didn't give a damn.
Take one.
The vamp hesitated, but then accepted it.
What's this number two?
He backed away and let his gaze go from one vamp to the next.
It's your way to contact us if you're ever given orders you know are wrong. Innocents are always off limits. I was informed by the assassin I killed that you aren't given choices on your targets. But decide now who you fear more. Us or your council. And by the way, just because we might receive a tracking kit doesn't mean we'll come after you. We investigate when we're asked to kill. I'm not saying we'd offer sanctuary with our clans, but I will point out that Alaska is a big damn state. And if someone decided to move there, we wouldn't come after them unless they gave us a good reason. Call that number if you ever feel like relocating, and you'll get some suggestions on where law-abiding vamps would be safe.
He saw a few of the vamps grin, but their smiles disappeared fast. Glacier walked to each one, giving them a card. Most of them quickly pocketed them. Two stared at the card as if memorizing the number printed there. He backed away to the edge of the roof.
You are free to go. I suggest you get out of this city. The Lycan Pack here is under our protection. They've suffered enough loss because of Marco and his nest. You will not punish them for the justice I served.
Glacier nodded at his brothers and waited for each of them to fly away first. He flapped his wings and tensed, preparing to take flight.
Garlycan.
He paused, staring at the vamp who spoke. Again, it was the one he assumed to be Vasquez.
What? We'll never make that call. We're loyal to our council. I will personally burn every card you just passed out. No assassins will ever call you. Suit yourself.
The vamp suddenly lunged forward in a blur with a dagger in his hand. Glacier braced his legs, shelling his skin a little harder, but otherwise didn't move. The bastard tried to stab him in the throat. The tip of the blade hit his hard skin, sliding off. Glacier reached up as the vamp lost his balance and shoved him hard. It caused the man to fly back and land on his ass. "Don't, Vasquez!" Olivia hissed. Vasquez didn't listen, but instead flipped up, landed on his feet, and dropped the knife. He reached inside a pocket, withdrawing a gun. Glacier spun, bringing up one wing to protect his eyes without making it obvious, and plowed the other into the bastard before he could pull the trigger. It sent the vamp flying again, this time into a blonde man in head-to-toe black leather. That male caught Vasquez but quickly shoved him forward. Glacier hadn't planned on killing any of them, but he changed his mind, debating briefly if he should just behead Vasquez or make him suffer first. He didn't get the chance to do either. The blonde behind Vasquez abruptly surged forward and a steel blade flashed. Glacier watched in silence as the dark-haired vampire was swiftly beheaded. The blonde responsible spun on the other vamps as if expecting to be attacked. None came at him. They appeared stunned by his actions, but no one protested. The vampire put away his bloody knife.
Vasquez didn't speak for all of us. His brother is a council member and he volunteered to be an assassin. The rest of us didn't. We can handle our own problems. I just did.
Glacier was impressed. The blonde turned, facing the other vamps again.
Vasquez boasted about not having a tracker in his body since he was too loyal to ever attempt escape. We'll tell the council he died in a tragic accident on the way home. The fucker loved to live dangerously. Too bad he took too many risks. Agreed?
Each vampire nodded, some of them voicing agreement. Another blonde male stared at Glacier.
Was that offer to find sanctuary in Alaska sincere? Yes. You have a way out if you ever need it.
The blonde who'd killed Vasquez gave him a curt bow.
We'll only share the number with others we know who aren't absolutely blind to the council's flaws. Some of us are still redeemable.
The man came forward a few feet, then stopped.
Thank you.
Olivia stood behind all the vamps. She mouthed the same two words silently when he glanced at her. Glacier nodded and took flight, soaring away from the building. His brothers waited for him a few miles away on another rooftop. He landed beside them.
That seemed to go well, bro.
Pest patted him on the shoulder.
What do you think? The blonde vamp in the leather killed Vasquez after you two flew off.
Neb's eyebrows shot up.
Why? He made it clear he'd take back the cards I passed out and that no one would be given the number. Blonde vamp disagreed with his plan.
Pest whistled.
Vasquez sounded like an asshole anyway. Good riddance. Are we ready to fly back to your mate now? Yes.
Neb hesitated.
I'm gonna stick around for a bit.
Glacier narrowed his gaze at his oldest brother.
Why? Someone needs to deal with Kevin. I should do it.
Glacier sighed.
He threatened my mate and put those bombs on the building I'd claimed as my territory. I already came up with a plan with Kelsip. Go to your mate, Glacier. This is my pleasure.
Neb grinned. Pest grinned too.
What's the plan? You only look that happy if it's two for one hooker night, so it must be good.
Neb shot him a dirty look.
You're confusing me with yourself. I don't do hookers. Okay. Maybe. I do hookers sometimes.
Glacier shook his head.
What's the plan, Neb? Kevin isn't fit to lead. I'm going to fly in, kill his ass, and tell his enforcers to work out who becomes Alpha. That's a pack issue for them to resolve. Kevin overstepped his authority by pissing off Lord Avioth when he went after you. I'll make that clear. It shouldn't take me long. I'll see you before dawn. It's early enough that I'll be able to fly to you tonight. Tomorrow, we'll figure out where you and your mate are going to live.
Glacier nodded.
Thanks. We're family.
Neb gave him a hug.
I might not be overjoyed that your mate is a vamp, but I accept her.
Pest wrapped his arms around both of them, going for a group hug.
In other words, he's nothing like our bastard of a father. I sure all miss him.
We really owe Creed another thank you for taking his ass out. Glacier chuckled.
True.
Neb let them go, backing away.
I'm off now. See you both soon.
He turned, ran at the edge of the building, and took flight toward the Lycan territory. Pest grinned.
Let's go. I'll follow you. That is, if your mate instincts have kicked in. Have they?
Can you track Shortstack? Glacier closed his eyes and focused on Mandy. Something inside had him turning slightly to the left, and he could almost feel her.
Yes. I'm calling you Pussy Homing Pigeon from now on. Fuck you.
Glacier chuckled as he opened his eyes. Hey, it's a bitch to use our phones while flying places to get to the right address.
No GPS tonight. You just have to sense your mate. After you, bro. Never call me that nickname.
Pest just chuckled. Glacier ran at the edge of the roof and flew high. Pest followed. Chapter 15. It was just after 4 in the morning when Mandy heard a thump on the balcony. She rose from the couch. Creed did too. The slider opened and Glacier walked inside, Pest following behind him. There was no sign of Neb. She scanned Glacier's body, happy to see he didn't look as if he'd been in a fight.
It's done. We spoke to the council.
Mandy rushed forward and threw her arms around her mate.
How? What happened?
It was Pest who explained as he grabbed a beer from behind the bar from a mini-fridge, then took a seat on a bar stool. When he finished speaking, Mandy looked at Glacier.
I can't believe the others turned on Vasquez. Not that it shocks me. He was an asshole. I wanted to kill him plenty of times, but not enough to die over.
It's against the law to kill another assassin. I hope the others don't tell on whoever the blonde vampire was. He held her by her hips, his hands gentle but firm.
Olivia should be safe. We made her our official go-between.
Her love for him grew. Thank you. He shrugged.
You trust her. I'd rather talk to your friend than some stranger.
It was a big deal, despite him making it not seem so. The council would be terrified of angering the Garlykans even more than they already had by killing the vamp they'd chosen to use as a go-between. The council had already made a huge error by sending two assassins after Glacier. She bet they'd freaked out when they realized that's what they'd done. She didn't feel any pity for whoever had given them false information.
They'll be ruthless to whoever gave them that report to protect Marco and his nest. Someone will die.
Sounds about right.
Pest agreed.
Justice served. I'm going to go to my room to call Angel.
Creed hugged his brothers and waved at Mandy as he left the suite. Glacier stared down at her.
Was Creed good to you while I was gone?
He was. He told me all about his mate. I'd like to meet Angel one day.
I'm certain you will. We're all one big family now.
Pest slid off the bar stool.
I'm gonna take a walk through the hotel and make certain it's just humans. You two probably need some time alone.
Glacier frowned.
You don't have to go. I'm restless after all that flying. I stretched my wings, but now my legs feel stiff. I'll be back soon.
Glacier kissed Mandy the moment they were alone. She jumped up, wrapping around his body.
I missed you.
Bedroom. Now.
He cupped her ass, striding toward their room. His phone dinged and he came to a halt, growling.
I need to get this. Neb was sent to kill Kevin.
She slid down his body as he took the call. It wasn't his brother.
Hello, Kelzeb. Any word from Neb?
He stayed close, making it possible for her to hear the deep male voice on his cell.
The Alpha is toast. Neb made his death clean and swift. The damn pack offered to accept him as their new Alpha. He declined and told them to work it out themselves. Then they asked him to stick around while they hold challenges. The pack is vulnerable. I gave him permission to agree. He won't be returning to where you are. Thanks for letting us know. Sending you to Wyoming or Colorado is off the table. I trust both family-related alphas, but who knows about the loyalty of their packs? Your mate would be worth a lot of money to betray if any of them figured out what or who she is. We can't risk that.
Glacier's features hardened.
Understood. What's the solution? I know you came up with one. I didn't. Lord Avioth was the one who assigned your next job. Ready for it? I know you hate snow. I'll do anything to keep Mandy.
He held her gaze and smiled.
Just give me the details. Okay, first head back to Alaska with Creed. I'm going to help him be guardian to Angel's pack? No, but you'll only be a few hours from him. Avioth called in a favor from Velder. You'll be living in his territory. They have a cabin for you and your mate. Ever since Lorne's clan dealt with that vampire situation, I've been assigning scouts to fly over his territory to help them keep an eye on things. You'll be in charge of those scouts now. They sure as fuck won't care that your mate is with you, or betray her presence.
Glacier smiled.
I like it. I thought you would. It helps me out, too. I've got less scouts to assign duties to daily. I'm out.
Mandy stared up at Glacier as he put away his cell. Who's Velder, and why do you look so happy?
We're gonna be living with vamp lichens.
That wasn't what she'd expected. Everything she'd ever heard about them was the stuff of horror stories. Of course, her mate was a Garlichen. His brothers could be scary, but they weren't anything like she'd expected them to be. The vamp lichens will allow me to live with them? She wanted to add, without killing me, to her question, but refrained.
We have strong alliances with the vamp-lichen clans now. You'll be safe. Hell, they are part vampire. You should fit right in there.
What about when they figure out the sun doesn't burn me?
Lord Avioth is more than aware, and he's sending us to live with them. He gave me permission to feed you my blood anytime you need it. I trust his judgment. You'll be safe. That's all that matters.
We're going to Alaska, and you hate snow. I heard that part, too.
I hated it because while I lived at the cliffs, harsh snowstorms meant I was trapped inside. We can fly during sub-zero weather, but it's not pleasant. Cold doesn't bother us as much as it would a human, but it can be miserable. Being trapped at the cliffs meant dealing with my father. Every time I saw him, he bitched about what disappointments my brothers and I were. He'd track me down to my private quarters constantly to rage about anything he wanted to get off his chest. Mostly, I didn't give a damn. He was an asshole. I couldn't leave Alaska fast enough to escape him.
That made her feel sad for him. I'm sorry. I know what it's like to have a shitty dad.
I know you do, baby.
He closed them in their room and walked over to the bed, taking a seat.
He made it a lichen, but hated that we weren't completely gargoyle. Our traits are, but he felt our emotions were our downfall.
She followed and crouched before him, helping him remove his boots. I like you just the way you are. He grinned at her while she tugged them off.
I could get used to this.
I'm your mate. This seemed like a matey thing to do. He chuckled as she stood, then reached out and hauled her onto his lap.
My father was just an unfeeling prick. I tried to never take it personal. He hated everyone. So it wasn't the snow I hated. It was being there. The weather was a good excuse to use rather than insulting my father. He was on the Gargoyle Council.
He caressed her cheek.
Now things are different. I won't be at the cliffs, and my father isn't around any longer to make my life miserable. I'll be living with you. The idea of being snowed in suddenly sounds pretty damn good.
He stroked her skin.
We can stay in bed for days or even weeks when storms hit.
That doesn't sound bad at all. She snuggled against his chest. I hope this cabin is a fireplace. I love them. It sounds romantic.
It does, and it will have at least one, maybe two. The power can go down. Fireplaces are required.
I've never been to Alaska.
I think you'll love it. I'll take you scouting with me on good weather nights.
You can do that?
Fly with you? Yes.
It still amazes me that we found each other again.
Fate can be cruel, but not this time.
He leaned down to press his lips to hers. Mandy kissed him back, their fangs no longer a problem. He deepened the kiss and let his hands roam her body. It didn't take long before she squirmed on his lap, broke the kiss, and wiggled out of his hold to strip off her clothes. He rose, doing the same. They both climbed onto the bed naked and tangled together on top of the bedding, kissing again. She moaned against his tongue and broke away, seeking his throat. Glacier bared it and growled as she bit him. He pressed her onto her back, pinning her under him. She was wet and ready when he adjusted his hips, entering her slowly. Mandy remembered to remove her fangs as he leisurely began to fuck her, rocking his hips. She dug her fingernails into his shoulders, spurring him on. He increased the pace, arched his back, and lunged for her throat already exposed for him. He used his fangs to nick her skin and drank some of her blood, helping to strengthen their mate bond. Soon, she was crying out his name, coming hard. He followed her a few thrusts later, her name on his lips. Both of them panted, clinging to each other. Glacier knew the moment when his mate drifted to sleep under him, and he chuckled. The sun had risen, and he remembered her comment about having sex and snoozing right after. He gently withdrew from her body and climbed out of bed. He went into the bathroom, wet a warm washcloth, and returned to clean her. Next, he wiped himself off, leaving the hand towel on the bathroom floor. He pulled down the covers on one side of the bed, lifted Mandy, and spooned her body in front of his as he lay them both against the sheets. For him, sleep wouldn't come. His thoughts were on returning to Alaska. He didn't know Velder's clan all that well. What if they didn't accept his mate easily? He trusted Lord Aviath's judgment, though. He wouldn't assign Glacier to live with the clan if he felt Mandy would be in danger. The Vamplykins he'd worked with in the past had been very likable. He had to hope for the best. Worst case, he had managed to save a small fortune over the years. He could purchase land and have a cabin built for them near clan territory. It would mean they weren't under anyone's control, but close enough to have backup when needed. Whatever it took, he'd keep Mandy safe. He held her in his arms, breathing in her scent. The bond between them had already taken hold. The ability to track his mate comforted him. He'd always be able to find her if they were ever separated. His blood made her stronger, and the sun couldn't kill her anymore. Profound appreciation came next. Their mating wasn't something that should have been allowed, but his faith in Lord Aviath wasn't misplaced. The Garlykins had stood by him when it mattered most. A door closed in the other room, and he eased out of bed, put on his jeans, and found Pest in the living room having another beer. His brother nodded at him as he closed the bedroom door.
You weren't gone for long.
Is Shortstack out for the count?
Yes. It's going to take her some time to adjust to being able to walk in the sun.
Oh, shit.
Pest removed another beer from the fridge, passing it to him.
Congrats on the mate thing.
You'll find yours.
Bite your damn tongue. I'm so not ready for that shit.
You'll be settling down in one place.
Pest shuddered.
In Alaska. I love traveling around. I'm looking forward to Miami.
Warm weather, hot chicks, and working on my tan.
Glacier smiled.
Living in hotels, always carrying your stuff in a backpack, and eating way too much fast food.
It beats cooking and having to furniture shop. I never have to wash my own sheets or make a bed either.
Maid service is killer.
Glacier took a sip of his beer.
You're alone, though.
There is that. Pass took a seat at the bar and motioned to his brother to do the same.
I'm gonna miss working with you sometimes.
Like in Texas?
Pass chuckled.
Or maybe not. Fuck, it was hell burning all those roguelike in pieces.
None of them got away.
True that.
Pass held his gaze.
I'm happy for you. I can tell you two are in love.
Has there ever been anyone you were drawn to?
Not more than getting them into bed and then getting them to leave without causing a scene.
Some women tend to be clingy.
You'll find someone, especially since you seem so set against finding a mate.
But it's understandable. I was afraid I'd never find a mate. It's not as if we had great role models to aspire to. Dad made Mom miserable. I always wanted to deck the son of a bitch for the way he treated her.
Same. Sometimes her pain was so strong, I swear I could smell it.
The worst was when the bastard took Creed from her.
What kind of monster gives away his own child?
That will never be us.
Pest frowned.
You won't have kids. Did you think about that? Vampire women can't get pregnant. You signed away becoming a father by taking her as a mate.
We can adopt if we ever want to be parents. How many times have we found orphans after rogue attacks or after a nest wiped out some small lichen pack that was able to hide their pups first?
I'll be sure to call you the next time it happens to see if you're interested in taking in a kid or two.
They studied each other. Glacier finally nodded.
I'd appreciate it. I think Mandy would make an amazing mother. We just want to be mates for a while, but after that, make that call.
You got it, bro.
Pest smiled.
Just don't let her eat them.
Glacier shook his head.
Dick. I was joking.
Shortstack is a sweetheart. She'd no more bite a kid than I would.
You were right about her. I like your mate, even though she's a vamp. Best one I ever met.
She's amazing.
Glacier finished his beer.
I only have one problem.
What's that?
My motorcycle. We'll fly to Alaska, and let's face it, it wouldn't be the best thing to have up there. It's too loud, and my new neighbors would complain. I'd like to give it to you.
Pest grinned.
Chicks love bikes. I'll take it.
Thanks.
Cool. A free bike. I get the better end of this deal, and I did just buy a helmet. Now I get to use it for more than a day.
I'll get you the keys.
Glacier quickly retrieved them, passing them over.
Go sleep with your mate. Creed wants to get back to Angel. He hates leaving her alone, even if she's spending time with her parents. He'll want to fly out of here later today.
You gonna be around?
I'm driving to Miami. I should be going soon. Tell Shortstack I said goodbye.
I'll make the trip up to Alaska to see you guys once you're settled in.
Pest grinned.
In the summer. Fuck the snow.
Glacier gave him a hug.
Be safe. Always, bro.
Glacier returned to the bedroom, took off his jeans, and crawled back into bed. He pulled Mandy into his arms. She murmured his name and snuggled into his body. He smiled, drifting off to sleep. Chapter 16. Mandy got to meet her first vamp lichen at the airport. He was tall, muscular, and daunting. Lake had flown from Alaska on a private jet to pick them up. He also got her through the small airport without the use of her ID or her real name.
We were worried the council might be looking for you,
Glacier explained. You knew a vamp lichen was coming? He hadn't said anything to her.
Not until I asked Creed how he wanted to get back to Alaska. Velder sent Lake for us.
This has to cost a fortune. Private jet? Ouch. She couldn't imagine how much had been spent. Glacier only shrugged.
The clans have money.
Lake grinned.
This baby used to belong to our enemy. Our clans took possession of it after Decker died, and anyone who needs to fly uses it. The pilots are Lycans from a family pack. They'll mind their own business and not ask any questions. We told them to stay in the cockpit. It's all cool.
Mandy studied him. You're from Velder's clan, right?
Yes.
You know about me?
Of course. Velder informed us.
He winked.
You look pretty good for a dead woman. The Vampire Council will never find you.
Is your clan going to be okay with me living with them?
Yes. Your secret is safe with us. Not to offend you, but nobody wants a bunch of vampires invading Alaska to go after our neighbors.
That set her at ease. She also liked the way Lake smiled at her. He didn't seem bothered by what she was. Glacier hovered close, being protective. He put his hand on the small of her back, helping her onto the jet and into her seat. He even held her hand while they flew. In Alaska, they landed at a larger airport. That's when they said goodbye to Creed. Mandy, Glacier, and Lake took a smaller plane to a remote area, where the human pilot landed on a dirt road, dropping them off at Lake's vehicle. He drove them into Vamp-Lycan territory. The town was small. They parked behind an auto shop. Mandy felt nervous as she climbed out of the vehicle, but Glacier kept flashing her smiles and whispering assurances. Lake gave them directions to their new home in the woods before walking away. Velder met them outside a two-story cabin. He smiled at Mandy and hugged Glacier.
Welcome to my territory and to your new home. It's a two-bedroom with two bathrooms. It was built last year to house visitors. I hope it's to your liking. I'm sure it will be. We appreciate this.
Glacier hugged her to his side.
We've always wanted a Garlycan to live with our clan. It will help bond all the clans tighter together. We're honored to have you.
Velder grinned.
Everyone can't wait to meet you. I came alone to keep you from feeling overwhelmed. Tomorrow we're holding a party to welcome you.
His gaze cut to Mandy.
It will be held in the evening for your comfort. The sun will still be up when it starts, but I was assured you'd be fine. She will be,
Glacier agreed.
Aviath told you? That drinking your blood protects her from burning? Yes, I was pretty surprised. Everyone else in the clan has been told she's the result of a vampire impregnating a rogue Lycan. But she has few Lycan traits. Aviath and I thought it would cover all the bases. The rest of the backstory we created is close to the truth. The council found her and trained her to be an assassin. You found Mandy on a mission and faked her death to keep her safe. I apologize for making you lie about your history, but it was the only reasonable explanation for someone who smells like a vampire, but who's also able to withstand the sun. It's rare, but it's happened before with our kind. A child born with predominantly vamp traits. Aviath wanted to tell all vamp Lycans the truth, but decided it's too much of a risk. And I agreed. I understand why vampires can never find out about Garlycan blood. Also, there could be a danger if anyone in Lorne's clan finds out. Some are still upset about Decker. This would give them an opportunity for revenge. It's better to be safe than sorry.
I've heard that name before. Who's Decker? Mandy glanced at Glacier for an answer.
He used to lead one of the clans. Total prick,
Glacier muttered. Velder chuckled.
What he said. Decker is dead. Lord Aviath killed him. Some vamp Lycans in his clan were very loyal to him. The rest of us are forever grateful that he's gone. I'll fill you in later,
Glacier promised.
Velder handed them keys. We stocked it with food. Everything you need should be here. There's also keys to an SUV on this ring. It's parked behind the cabin and has a map of the area. We have a convenience store that stocks most food and personal items. Anything they don't have that you need, let us know.
Thank you. Both Mandy and Glacier said at the same time. Velder left them to explore the inside on their own. Glacier opened the front door.
Stay here.
She waited on the porch as he entered, turning on lights. It was charming that he wanted to make sure it was safe before she entered. The view she caught of the interior had her loving the place already. It had an open floor plan with a rustic log cabin look. Lots of wood floors, big beams, and a beautiful stone fireplace. Glacier came back to her quickly and made her gasp as he scooped her into his arms.
What are you doing?
He grinned.
Carrying you over the threshold.
He entered the cabin, using his foot to close the door behind them.
What do you think?
She got a better look at the kitchen. It was modern, with an island separating it from the living space. Granite counters, gray and white in color, with stainless steel appliances.
Nice.
I love it. Did you notice we didn't see any other cabins nearby? We have lots of privacy.
She grinned. This is going to be way better than living in New York. I bet it's quiet. And look at that fireplace.
Wait until you see the master.
He put her down on her feet.
There's one smaller bedroom downstairs, but the one upstairs is massive, with a walk-in closet and great bathroom. It even has a soaking tub with a separate shower.
Show me!
She took his hand. Mandy was ecstatic. This would be their home, a place where she'd be living with the man she loved. She liked every room they entered. The whole place was inviting, roomy, and well-furnished in ways she wouldn't change. They ended up in the master last. There was another fireplace in the room, a king-size bed, and a large sitting area with a couch in front of the hearth.
Well?
Glacier smiled at her.
What do you think?
We could be very happy here together.
What do you think?
You're here. It's perfect.
He made it so easy for her to love him.
We should test the bed, you know, to make sure it's not too hard or soft.
He chuckled.
I agree. But there's one more thing I need to do before we go to bed.
What's that?
Get to know the area around our house. How would you like to go flying?
Excitement hit hard and fast.
Seriously? I'd love that.
He removed his shirt and let her downstairs, out the front door, and she watched as he grew wings. This time she got to observe from the back. Slits opened near his shoulder blades and the tips grew out, getting larger. Small popping noises accompanied the growth. It stunned and amazed her.
Does it hurt?
He turned to face her, meeting her gaze.
Not anymore. Shifters adjust to it.
He stretched his wings as he approached.
Come here, baby. You need to hold on tight to me. Later, I'll get a harness from my people sized for you. I can strap you to my chest with you facing forward.
She laughed.
Really?
Yes. It will be more comfortable, and you can see a lot more if you aren't wrapped around me in flight. Come here.
Mandy hugged his body, and he curled one arm around her back, the other just under her behind. He bent his knees, jumped a little, and his wings flapped as they rose upward. She glanced around as they reached the same height as the treetops. Then they were above them.
Aren't you afraid someone will see us fly?
That's the great thing about Alaska, and particularly where we are. There are no human towns nearby, and we're in vamp-like territory. It's safe to do this even in the daytime. I just need to avoid the human border areas. One day, when I have permission, I'll fly you near the cliff so you can see where I was born and raised.
I'd like that. Are you allowed to go back there now that we're mated?
He pressed a kiss to her cheek.
I can, but that doesn't matter. I only want to enter the cliffs if you are allowed to be there at my side.
He had risen high enough to allow her to spot a bunch of cabins nestled in the woods around them. Most were distanced from each other, giving the occupants privacy. Trees and a few rivers stretched as far as she could see.
Oh, it's beautiful.
So are you. Hold on to me tighter.
She locked her fingers together behind his neck. He released her back and used that arm to point, turning them a little as he hovered high in the air.
See that? That's Howell, Velderstown.
She squinted. It looks so tiny.
It is. A gas station with a few stores. I think they have an auto repair shop, too. Most vamp-liking clans have one to be able to get humans back on the road. Not that many travel this far off the main highways. No one is going to ever find you here. You'll be safe.
Thank you.
He'd saved her life and given her an amazing new one.
Let's go home.
He hugged his arm around her back and suddenly swooped downward. She gasped, then laughed as they flew.